This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to Feeding Time. My name is Off Newting. In the studio with us today, we have Chelsea Ng, singer-songwriter and actress, who's here to share her food stories and memories growing up in Penang.
It's their secret ingredient, lah, for these Chinese restaurants, I believe. And I've been to one, and I asked one of the waitresses. She came back and said, the chef says it's Maggi.
Liar. Of course you can tell what Maggi tastes like. Wow.
I know, it's not Maggi.
But first up, here's what I've been eating around town this week. There was a point of time in my life where I was crazy about IKEA food. In fact, my record will be going to IKEA for 5 days straight, ordering the usuals of 10 meatballs, poached salmon, mushroom soup and free-flow coffee. But throughout the past few years, the shimmer and excitement of the whole Swedish canteen dining experience wore off along with the quality of their products. So I decided to pay IKEA a visit after a long time to find out what I've been missing out thus far. Ever the innovator, IKEA introduces some rather interesting food options that differs from time to time. And this time, they had included, surprise, surprise, curry mee and even barbecue beef ribs in their menu. The ribs were presented in typical borderline sloppy IKEA no-frills fashion. And I was given a huge portion of ribs, almost as if the staff knew I was about to do this review. And it was topped off with some potato wedges and some kind of sauce that was hard to identify since it was combined with the oil and juices flowing from the ribs, which were soaked in marinade while waiting to be served on the assembly line. Unfortunately, the meat wasn't fall off the bone tender, so I would usually give it a low score up front, but surprisingly, it was kind of delicious and had some lovely charred texture that made up for the rather tough meat. Kind of impossible to eat without using a fork and knife, but you know, for the price of RM33.90, I thought it was pretty alright. Kind of like a budget version of beef ribs. Not the best, but I really enjoyed it, to be honest. Couldn't say the same for the famous Swedish meatballs. Well, to tell you the truth, it wasn't even cooked properly, with some balls feeling uncooked in the center. And it was only 7 p.m, but the mashed potatoes were apparently out of stock, and so blocks of potatoes were given in replacement. To be completely honest with you, I would still go back and order the meatballs despite this bad experience, because it has already been such an integral part of my IKEA dining experience. My only advice, if you have to order the meatballs, don't order more than 5, because it won't be worth it. But props to IKEA for adding a vegetarian option with couscous and sambal for all the vegetarians out there. It was pretty heartbreaking to find out my favourite dime cake was removed from the menu since 2011. This was due to IKEA's global decision to replace the products in the IKEA Swedish food market with their own IKEA brand, and that includes the removal of the dime cake. But there's an almond cake as a replacement, and though it ain't no dime cake, it was pretty good too, felt a bit healthier as well. Overall, despite the drop in standard, based on my own opinion of course, I think I'd still go back to IKEA to grab a meal, you know, for nostalgic purposes, but only if I'm mentally prepared to be let down for the day. And now, here's Fei Ku with our guest for this week's edition of Food Stories, Chelsea Ng.
With me, Chelsea Ng, a fellow Penangite, I should say. A very relevant fact when you consider the fact that we're actually going to be sharing her food story. We Penangites are very proud of our food, so no doubt Chelsea will have a lot to tell us about growing up in Penang and the food she loves to eat there. So, Chelsea.
Hi, everyone. Yes, we have very arrogant taste buds. That's us.
Arrogant is a very good way to describe it, actually, because we always go to other places in Malaysia and we're like...
Yeah, we're very arrogant. Our taste buds are very arrogant, and I don't know whether we should be proud of that or not. I suppose you should never be proud of arrogance, but we are the best.
Deserve to be arrogant, it's okay, you know. My friends are always rolling their eyes when I eat something. They're like, it's okay.
And they're always
for KL standards,
and they're always waiting for our approval.
Yeah, what is that, right?
All right. No, really, is it just all right?
It's so. Yeah. And then you add that final ... for KL standards, yeah. Which means that it's even crap. You can't even compare it.
By KL standards, it, it's good. How's the asam laksa by KL standards? It's good, like, it's good. It's a fix, like, it's a fix.
But you are one of those loud and proud Penangites. I mean, you know, when on social media, you're always promoting Penang as an island, as your hometown as well. And I find that really lovely, you know, the fact that it's a place that really holds a place that's dear in your heart.
Definitely. I go home, I try to go home at least once a month. My family's still there, and I just need a dose of island air. It's different there. The air seems to be different. Maybe because it's home, you know? And the food is great. Not just the food I get outside, but the food that my parents cook at home. The simple dishes that they prepare for me when I go home, especially my dad. My dad's the chef at home. My mom hardly cooks anymore. They're vegetarians now, but that doesn't stop them from making amazing dinners.
Why did they decide to become vegetarian?
It wasn't a religious thing. A lot of people assume that when people turn vegetarian, especially the older generation, when they become vegetarians, it's more of a religious thing. But for my parents, it's more of not wanting to hurt animals and not wanting to kill animals. And it all started with my brother, actually. He started becoming a vegetarian when he was 18. And for the longest time, he was the only one in the family. He was a full-on meat eater.
Wow.
He hated vegetables. In the family, I used to be known as the Chai Nya, which means vegetable nyonya, because I love vegetables. I would only eat the vegetables
really?
On my plate. Yes, and my brother would never eat the vegetables and will only eat the meat. He hates vegetables. Even now, there are only very selective kind of vegetables that he would consume. But he just decided one day that you know, I'm going to try for a week and going to try for a month. And then he said, I'm not going to eat meat anymore.
And how many years has that been?
My brother will be turning 40 next year.
Oh my God. So he's been a vegetarian for 22 years. Yes. That's amazing.
And my parents followed suit 10 or 15 years after him. But I'm the last one standing lah, because I like my asam laksa. Oh, speaking about asam laksa, there are quite a few pretty amazing vegetarian asam laksas in Penang.
Really?
Because mushrooms smell, like, if you to meet a certain kind of mushroom, I don't know what kind of mushroom that is, they used to make belacan, vegetarian belacan. And it's divine.
I think it's the king oyster mushroom, because the king oyster mushroom, they use it a lot in vegetarian food, because it has a real texture like meat.
Yes.
And you can shred it. It's almost like pulled pork, the way they shred
yes,
it.
Yes, yes, yes.
And there's if they fry it, it's like, wow, you couldn't tell.
There's a mushroom steak in the food court at Gurney Plaza. A vegetarian mushroom steak that I absolutely love. And the asam laksa there is quite nice. Vegetarian,
really?
Yeah.
In a food court. Chelsea, come on.
No, seriously.
We Penangites don't go to food courts.
Go to food court for... But this is specific, you know, vegetarian food.
Okay.
And there are other places for vegetarian food, but the most convenient for us, because my parents live nearby, we go to that particular stall, and the asam laksa there is pretty darn good.
Yeah. I mean, I have great memories of growing up in Penang, going to Sri Intan. And did you ever go there, Sri Intan, in Pulau Tikus? It was just near the market. It was an institution for food. The chicken rice there was, oh my God, it was the best chicken rice.
Wow.
Still today, I remember it.
The thing about me and my friends, my family in Penang is that we don't really remember the names of the coffee shop. It's the Balai Tui Bin.
Yeah,
kopitiam, you know. Balai Tui Bin,
that's the Hokkien Mee in that home, right?
Balai Tui Bin is the one across the road from the Balai Polis.
Yes,
and it's just little instructions, really, not really the name of the restaurant. So I have no idea what
I only
what
had. I only started to learn the name of the places when I started writing food guides.
Okay,
because before that, like you, it was like opposite the police station on the right-hand side, the coffee shop on the right, you know?
Yeah.
Just before the funicular railway station, you know, the roundabout to the Penang Hill, is the coffee shop on the left.
Yeah,
and that's how you remember everything. But
where's this Intan place?
Sri Intan was a food court before a food court ever existed. And it was in Pulau Tikus, where One Midlands is, that little shopping center opposite where the market area is.
Uh-huh.
And they had little vendors that would sell food. And like I said, it was a food court before the food court existed. And the chicken rice there was legendary. They moved out to their own place later on.
I'm trying to think where food court near the market is.
Just near the traffic lights. Just if you look at the traffic lights, you know where there's a Hokkien Cha place in Pulau Tikus that has like...
That
remember
corner.
Remember that place that it became a shopping centre?
That corner,
back before it became the shopping centre that it is today.
I strangely don't remember that.
You call yourself a foodie.
No, I really strangely don't remember that because we always used to go to the string of hawkers behind the market in Pulau Tikus in the evenings. They used to park right outside Penang Chinese Girls High School. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but that's...
Then they moved because they renovated that.
The Hokkien Mee there is not bad.
The Lok Lok, Kui Diao Teng. And now that they're there, there's a cha bee hoon guy who's really good too.
Economy fried bee hoon. A dish that is special to Penang, right?
Yeah.
You can get a 1 ringgit plate of fried bee hoon with nothing but chili sauce, plum sauce,
and crispy
and fried
curd.
What the hell is that about? It doesn't have any nutritional value. It's just cha bee hoon with maybe 4 taugas in it, right? Four bean sprouts.
No, I'm pretty sure there's some nutrition to be had in the chili.
In the 4 bean sprouts.
In the chili, I mean. Oh, now there's a really interesting stall in Pulau Tikus where the hawkers are at night. There's a stall that sells sushi.
Really?
And it's the most popular thing. You put anything on top of those little boat rice pieces. It's one of the most popular.
So what? You just roll the rice, you put char siu. You roll the rice, you put...
I don't know what the fella has, because the menu is extensive, man. Seriously. and the kueh stall. I love the kueh stall.
Roll anything in rice, really.
You can roll anything in rice, yeah.
But as a kid, your dad, you said, was a chef.
As a kid, my mom was a chef.
But
now my dad seems to have taken over. He likes cooking.
I find that very interesting that a lot of people that I've interviewed on the show that come from Penang, or actually not even Penang, but who have parents that, and usually, you know, surprisingly, it's the father that likes to go and cook in the kitchen. And you never think that. You never think that. Because growing up, my father was useless. He didn't even know how to boil water. So to hear other people talk about their parents like that, amazing.
My dad's fried bee hoon is pretty badass.
Is it the economy type or has it got all kinds of stuff in it?
It's the economy type. It's the simple soya sauce, tumis the garlic, put in the soya sauce, and we have a magical soya sauce. There's this magic soya sauce.
With the secret ingredient.
I am a soya sauce connoisseur. I judge a Chinese restaurant based on how good the soya sauce is.
Really?
Yes. So once I taste the soya sauce, I know the food's going to be good.
How do you know? if it's just soya sauce that they bought?
See, these Chinese restaurants are very, very cheeky, yeah? I always try to ask them where they get the soy sauce from, but they never want to tell me. They always siam the question. They're like, we get it from this tub. If you want some, I can give it to you.
Do you think they make stuff into it?
Sometimes they make their own, and it's their secret ingredient for these Chinese restaurants, I believe. And I've been to one, and I asked one of the waitresses, and she came back and said, the chef says it's Maggi.
Liar. Of course you can tell what Maggi tastes like. Wow.
No, it's not Maggi.
But do you think the secret ingredient is MSG, basically?
No, I don't think so. I don't think the secret ingredient is MSG in the soy sauce. It has a very sweet aftertaste. I spoke to someone who knows someone who makes soy sauce, and it's about, I don't know anything about wine, but it's something like that. They ferment it depending on how long and which grade of beans, and it's pretty scientific.
So what's the best soya sauce you've ever tasted?
All right.
Which restaurant?
Which restaurant? Yeah. Oh, no, I have a brand that I really like.
That's fire away and share with us, man.
The factory is in Mount Eskin, where my kampong is. And it's a yellow bottle with a... a yellow bottle with a rose on it.
A yellow bottle with a rose?
Yes.
Well, I'm sure it'd be easy to find on the
shelf. Well, it's easy to find in Penang.
Okay.
Yes.
I'd be sure to look up for the yellow bottle and rose.
Yes.
Mount Eskin, Penang.
Go to Charasta, go to any sundry shop in Penang, you'll be able to find it. The other alternative is the yellow bottle with the apple. Okay, so they kind of taste the same, but I prefer the one with the rose because it's from my kampong lah. The other one is from across the sea, which is the mainland.
Right.
Still Penang.
But what's the significance of the apple?
I don't know. I hear, this is what I hear, that they used to be, one, and then they split up.
Right, yeah. So one had to take the rose, one had to take the apple.
Yeah, but the rose, they say, is the original, so...
Oh, the Penangites, you know, I love how there's always something special, something secretive. Next up, Chelsea is going to be talking about some of the foods she loves as an adult and the foods that she loves to cook. This is Feeding Time with Faye on BFM 89.9. This is BFM 89.9. You've been listening to Feeding Time. I'm Faye Koo. In the studio with me, singer-songwriter, actress Chelsea Ng, a fellow Penangite with plenty of food stories to share, as she's been doing. Now that she's divulged the secret of soy sauce, I mean, you know, all bets are off. This is, you know, the big new school of the century gone. You're going to go there, you're going to go to buy it, and then be like, oh, it's sorry, it's out of stock. Everybody bought already now that, you know, it's been on radio.
Oh, the life of me, I don't remember ever noticing what the brand is, you know, because it's like chap tupai, there's a tupai there. Or it's probably chap rose.
And chap rose.
I don't know.
But you mentioned that your parents were very good cooks as when you were growing up. Did you ever acquire some of those cooking skills, or did you just depend on them to give you good meals all the time?
Well, naturally, I moved out of the house and I would have to cook my own meals. So my mom would give me recipes and over the phone, and she would pretend that, you know, you put 2 ounces of that, 2 teaspoons of that. But she gave me a recipe book for Christmas, handwritten, all her recipes, all her Nyonya recipes, and all the stuff that I love to eat. And it's like, wow, so precise. 1 cup of this and 2 tablespoons of that. And I called her up and I said, Mom, you don't lie. It's all aga-aga, right? She laughed. Yeah, la, aga-aga.
She just added, 2 cups sounds about right. 2 tablespoons sounds about right.
A pinch sounds about right. A tablespoon sounds about right. I'm like, okay, la. So I also aga-aga, la. Everything aga-aga. Just throw in aga-aga.
So out of the food they've always made for you, what were some of your favorite dishes that you still miss today?
The simpler ones, they used to make this minced meat with soy sauce, onions, and potatoes.
Yeah, and that sounds really good.
It's really yummy. You mash the minced chicken up with some egg that you beat, and you put in a little bit of corn flour.
No soy sauce?
Of course, the soy sauce, and then you marinate it with soy sauce and some dark soy sauce.
With the corn flour.
With the corn flour, and you marinate it, and I think my mom puts in, I don't know what it's called, in
just say it in Chinese.
Ngo yong hun. You know what going on?
5 spice powder.
5 spices.
I know. I'm just about as good at speaking Hokkien as you are at saying Hokkien in English. So
no idea what it is. I know what it smells like. Yeah, I know what it looks
like. You put in the lobak, right?
I know how to ask for it in the market.
I think it's 5 spice powder.
I have no idea. So yeah, she adds a bit of that and marinates it and leaves it on the side. And then she will do meat the onions, throw the meat in, throw the potatoes in, and add a bit of soy sauce again, a pinch of sugar to bring out the taste. And that's about it. Dark soy sauce too, I suppose.
So were they very good at creating their own dishes?
They're pretty good at creating their own dishes.
And then when they cook it for you, the family will vote, okay, this is a keeper, that one not so good, maybe not so, you need to improve on that. Does that happen?
No, we just pretty much devour everything. My grandfather used to make this ikan bilis, this caramelized ikan bilis that I absolutely love as a kid.
With honey?
No, with dark soy sauce.
Oh, wow.
With dark soy sauce and sugar.
Oh, so you know what he does? He's basically doing the same technique that you use with siobat, you know, roast pork. You know how you go to Vitri and you have the roast pork and it's caramelized with a lot of honey and a lot of black soy sauce?
Okay.
So he's basically doing the same technique but using ikan bilis instead.
Ikan bilis, yeah, it's absolutely yummy. So he puts in a little bit of oil, and he puts in the dark soy sauce and the sugar, and he'll tumi it a bit, tumi, and then take it out and fry the ikan bilis separately, and then put them together, and then fry it, and then it becomes crispy and caramelized and sweet and yummy and pang pang. Oh my goodness, it's so good. My mom used to make this siput dish. Also, seems like everything or soy sauce one.
Is siput the same as lala?
No.
Okay. Lala is smaller and siput is slightly bigger, but siput is smaller than a ham, right?
No, Lala is bigger, siput is smaller.
That's me corrected.
It's the smallest. Now she doesn't cook the siput anymore. She goes to the market, she buys the siput, and she puts them back into the beach, into the sand.
But they will be dead already, no?
No, some of them are still alive.
So she's basically rehabilitating the siput.
Yeah.
How cute is that?
She's so cute, right?
Oh my god.
Because she
set the siput free. It's like free siput.
Free the siput.
Free siput. No, free really. So it's cute. Free siput.
No, she had the intention of cooking my favorite dish for me. But she's vegetarian now. So she went to the market and she's
so
like, should I buy or should I not buy? And then she saw this uncle, this really old uncle with his granddaughter. And his granddaughter was sitting right next to him. And they obviously went to the beach and collected the siput together. No one was buying the siput. So she decided to buy all the siput and set them free. So we both went to the beach, sat there, dug a hole, put
are you sure they
in the sand. You can actually see them burrowing.
Okay.
Mm. Some of them gone already, but a lot of them, most of them still.
Survival rate was quite high.
Survival rate was quite high, lah.
Actually, I have a vague memory as a kid. I don't know if you ever did it. When Gurney Drive was still by the seaside, I think it was my maid or my grandmother would take us and we would go down to the sand and squat there and dig for siput.
Yeah. I used to do that too.
Right?
Where the dragon boats used to race.
Yes. How strange is that? This one memory.
It's not strange at all. Who says it's strange? It's not strange.
And then take them home and fry them up, you know?
Yeah. Oh, pang pang. Everything is pang pang.
In Penang, everything is fragrant.
Yeah, pang pang is fragrant, yes.
So would you actually classify yourself as an eater or you can also cook?
I can cook if I'm put in the kitchen. That's for sure. I mean, I know the basis of everything and everything is aga-aga. I mean, if you're a foodie, you can cook. Definitely. Because you know what's good for you. And I can only cook the Chinese dishes, though.
Oh, is it?
It's in the Nyonya Chinese dishes, but not the matsale dishes.
That's very lucky, though, because those are the hardest to make.
I suppose it's hard because it's aga-aga, right? Because, you know, these Nyonya recipe books, they don't mean anything because everything is aga-aga.
So have you ever entertained at home, you know, had guests over for a dinner party that you've cooked for yourself?
When I was studying in Sydney, I used to cook asam laksa for my housemates. The asam laksa spices comes from a packet, for sure. But there is a trick to it.
What's the trick?
The trick is to not get fresh fish. Okay, you know the sardines from a can? You wash them because they've already been marinated in the sauce. But you don't need the sauce. So you wash them and then you put them on the side to dry before you...
Shred them.
Before you, mash them into the soup.
Right.
So that's the key.
That's the key. And what does it do?
It makes the broth a little bit sweeter.
Okay.
It makes the broth a little bit sweeter. And also it helps to dice up some onions and to meat it a bit before you add to the soup.
Okay.
Yeah.
So although the actual soup taste comes from a packet, you enhance it with these little tricks.
You have to enhance it because if you just throw everything in it's just wrong.
But you do a lot of traveling nowadays for your gigs, for when you're on shoot and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it mainly overseas? I mean, mainly local or overseas?
Local, yeah.
Yeah. So you would have had a great chance to discover some of the foods of Malaysia, apart from Penang.
Mm. There's a 50 cent nasi lemak in Perlis that is absolutely divine next to the paddy fields.
Is it still 50 cents?
I'm pretty sure it's still 50 cents. And it's...
Next to the paddy fields in Perlis.
Some paddy field, I can't remember.
I don't know whether you actually just blur about it or you like want to hide the secret so people can't go trooping there to find it.
How am I supposed to know which paddy field? Like, they take me on a van and then they put me on location. We shoot something and then, hey, nasi lemak. Bye lah. And ask them where this is and all.
So what is a really good meal that you've had recently, whether it's home cooked or at a restaurant?
Oh man, that's so hard. I love to eat.
Okay, the most recent good meal you've had.
The first one that struck me was when you said that. It's definitely one of the Chinese New Year meals. Simple as heck at home that my mom and my dad cooked up. Everything was steamed. and it's their attempt on eating healthy lah, because they always fry the bean curd with oil and the white rice and all. But this time, my mom steamed some mushrooms with garlic, and I think she added vegetarian oyster sauce, and it was just broiling for hours and hours with mushrooms, and the mushrooms tasted so good. It's like I don't eat pork, but I'm assuming it tastes a bit like the tuka chaw, you know?
Like pork leg.
Yeah. The
vinegary. Although you don't eat pork.
I used to eat pork. I don't eat pork anymore. So it tasted like that. It was, oh my God, so good. She steamed okra, and I have no idea what she put on top. Maybe some kind of beans. Like a bean paste with some onions, or I have no clue. Sorry, I'm of no help. But somewhere along those lines, lah. Yeah. So it was just a very simple meal at home.
I guess you eat best when you're at home.
Oh, well, your question was best meal outside. Okay, wait.
Why let a question get in the way of a good story, though, right? So, because you're now stuck in KL, do you have any favorite places?
Stuck in KL sounds so sad. Hey, I love KL too. You know, KL's pretty cool.
So, I think the prevailing sentiment is that you don't like to eat out, right?
I don't really eat out. I do like to eat out, but I'm trying to think what's good here in KL. Oh, I like the siu-siu crab rice, the clay pot. Crab rice and susu.
At Robson Heights.
Yeah, Robson Heights.
Actually, that restaurant serves very good food in general.
I really
like to go there. Love the dragon rice. Vegetable, I don't know what it's called in Chinese, but the dragon vegetable was just superb. The texture, the taste, fried with garlic. Oh my God, one of my favorite vegetables so far. Why don't you share a favorite recipe that you like to make at home? Since you like to stay
in
at home
KL?
So much.
Wow.
Anywhere.
This is a sure.
When you have a stove.
This is a winner. Oh, a stove, is it? No fun with a stove.
Okay, you just do whatever. Whatever it takes you to cook a good meal.
In the oven, I get really excited. Oh, I have some healthy instant noodle recipes too.
Okay, let's go.
Do you want a healthy instant noodle recipe? Okay. You know those organic noodles, the buckwheat noodles, the charcoal noodles, where you get from the organic section? The non-synthetic kind of. So I buy that. I buy miso soup packets, the ones with no MSG. Miso soup packets. And sambal. Basically, just add water. Add water. Add the instant miso.
Add boiling water, lah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and dice up some vegetables. And put in the sambal. And if you want, you can dice up some onions. And you have a meal. And it's instant.
I've cooked onions.
You can cook them too. I mean, put them in the oven. I usually put a casserole of vegetables in the oven.
Okay.
Yeah, root vegetables in the oven. Cover it up, and that's it lah.
And add that to your noodles.
And add it to my noodles.
Miso paste and sambal.
Yeah.
It's I got to say, it's an exotic taste.
I have a thing for instant noodles. I have this love-hate relationship with more love than hate. With instant noodles.
You love to eat it and then you hate yourself afterwards,
yes,
right?
Yes, I absolutely hate myself after. So I found a lesser alternative, which is equally tasty. Well, not really equally tasty, but it's still, you know, a healthier option than to just open a pack, put in hot water, which is so yummy though.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Said the chef. Actually, maybe we should have got you to bring your ukulele in, because I really would have loved to have a listen of what you're doing, because you like to post on social media songs you're working on. And sometimes they're really nice. They're really compelling. So can you sing us a little something you've written recently?
Thank you. I write from personal experiences, so it is a very daunting... it is very daunting to share my music with other people. But what really gets me going is when someone comes up to me and says, that song really means a lot to me, and that line speaks to something that I've experienced too. So we're never really alone, because there's always a song out there that understands, you know. I suppose I'll sing you I wrote this tiny little prelude to a song that's in my album, and it goes a little something like this. Will I dream of you tonight? Will we sail across the sky? Will we sing and will we dance? Maybe I'll ask the moon. Will you hold me in your arms? Will you tell me stories and will you promise to be true? Maybe I'll ask the moon.
How absolutely delicious. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Really, really nice.
Thanks.
You definitely haven't missed your calling in life, that's for sure. I don't think you were born to be a chef. But hey,
I was born to eat good
you
food.
You were born to sing, man. Sing and eat other people's food. Now, you've got some stuff coming out. You're going to be performing soon
At Suzy Wong's.
At Suzy Wong. Is it a solo
7th.
Show?
It's a solo show.
On April 7th?
I have an amazing band. So
featuring songs from your new album?
No, I'll be doing some 90s pop.
Fantastic. In English and Chinese?
English and Chinese, yes.
Fabulous. And I understand you've got a movie coming out soon, directed by Tyong Hin.
Yes. A film by Saw Tyong Hin and Real Films with Astro Shaw. It's called Hi Geese in Law and the English title is You Mean the World to Me. The English title is not a direct translation of the but Haiki Sin Law means new road by the sea in Hokkien, and that is Victoria Street, and that's where Tyong Hin grew up. So it's a semi autobiography of his life. So it's a heartwarming, heart wrenching film.
A film
that will make you want to go back and call the people you love and reconnect with the people you've not reconnected with. It's the kind of movie that will make you feel like it will make you feel certain emotions that you're uncomfortable with or that you've not visited in a long time. So
that's the best kind of movie,
I think. That's the best kind of movie. Movies are supposed to make you feel something.
And it was adapted from his very successful the Georgetown Festival staging of this play.
Did you watch the play?
No, I didn't get a chance to because it was sold out and I was only in Penang for like 2 nights or something.
It was sold out, but the last night they added standing room because we had people waiting outside wanting to come in, you know. And it was one of the most magical experiences I've ever had as an actor, and to be able to portray that role on screen with Christopher Doyle framing me.
Yes.
It's pretty unreal, and it's one of the best experiences.
Unforgettable, right?
Unforgettable.
We're definitely going to look forward to seeing that film. Thank you so much for singing. Such a lovely voice.
Thanks, Faye. Thanks for having
such
me.
Such a lovely tune as well.
It's always fun to come up.
Good luck with the show.
Thank you.
Good luck with the movie.
Thank you.
Good luck with the Maggie Mee.
It's not Maggie Mee.
All right.
It's organic noodles.
Organic noodles. All right. Thanks, Chelsea.
Big thanks to Chelsea Ng. Don't forget to catch her at Suzy Wong at Raja Chulan. If you want to find out more about the show, don't forget to follow us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/BFM Feeding Time. Alternately, you can follow her on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Koo. That's MISSKHOO for more delicious tidbits about the show. Until next time, have yourselves a very tasty week. My name is Ofni Ting. You've been listening to Feeding Time on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.